This is Robert Margolancio of the Mindshare Learning Report, Canada's Learning and Technology e-magazine. We have our spotlight on mobile learning for December, and we are fortunate to have joined us this morning Dr. Gary Woodall, who is the CEO and Senior Analyst for i5 Research. He has been involved with computers and education since 1974, when he was introduced to the Plato system for computer-assisted instruction during his master's studies in educational psychology. In 1984, Gary received a doctorate in applied psychology from OISE at the University of Toronto, and in 1993, he co-founded an educational multimedia company that developed CD-ROMs for children. In 1998, he designed an adaptable learning management system and has developed more than 60 online courses for various corporate clients. Gary is co-author of Training and Collaboration with Virtual Worlds and the author of The Mobile Learning Edge, both published by McGraw-Hill. He is also the author of numerous articles and research reports on emerging learning technologies and is a consultant to several major clients in the U.S. and Canada. Dr. Woodall, thank you for joining me today.
It's my pleasure.
Wow, you've been, if I could refer to you, as a bit of a pioneer in this space.
Well, I'm an old guy. That's what I refer to myself as. I've been over 40 years now in education, and most of it with technology.
And I might add, there were fellow York University alumni, and you were part of the first class at York University, which is was interesting, sharing some stories. Wow, that's amazing.
Yes, I was there the first year that the campus at Keele Steels opened in 1965.
Well, now, mobile learning, and thank you for joining me on this very hot topic. It's a trend that, started long before the iPad, but, in some ways, the iPad has been an accelerator, and you anticipated this several years ago and were inspired to write a book about it.
That's correct. And in fact, I was really lucky because I was finishing the manuscript when the iPad came out. So I was able to get that in there and a picture of the iPad because it was just coming out, and I got it in within a month or so of my delivering the manuscript. So, I don't think the iPad was the beginning of mobile learning at all, but it certainly has made a difference. What's interesting is that I think the iPad, I call it the getting out of jail free card for e-learning folk who think of the iPad and tablets as sort of just like desktop. And they sort of breathed a sigh of relief because the problem was, what could you do with those little screens on cell phones?
Right. And you tell a story about the first mobile phone, and it goes way back to the early 1900s.
Yes, that's correct. Around 1910, Lars Ericsson of the Swedish phone company was out with his wife, and she persuaded him to take a telephone along in the car, and when they'd stop, he would hook up the telephone to the overhead telephone wires, and she could make calls from the car.
Now, that's a great trivia question to keep in mind for the future. Just as the original core business of Nokia being rubber boots, so innovation is critical in this space, and there's so much innovation happening, it's almost a challenge for people to keep up.
That's right. And I think the key innovation that brings us to mobile learning in the present, or the current time frame, is miniaturization of electronics in the 1960s and 70s, the development of portable transistor radios, and then the Sony Walkman and devices like that. Because without miniaturization, we really weren't able to carry these things around with us in our pockets.
So you saw the evolution of, the punch cards, the floppy disks, the green screens, the CD-ROMs. Now,
I've been there from the mainframes to the iPhone.
And so what misconceptions do some educators have about mobile learning? And what might you suggest in terms of harnessing the power of it?
I think the first misconception is that it's about the technology. We're talking about these devices. But in fact, I think it's not dependent on devices. I think it's really dependent on the fact that now, because of the devices, learners can be mobile. If we think about the original classrooms that were developed in Prussia in the 1770s, the purpose of classrooms, and classrooms are a learning technology, but the purpose of them was to immobilize people. In other words, to get them from moving around the schoolroom to sit still at desks and pay attention to the teacher. So the fact of mobility, that they can get up and move around, is really a sea change.
Fascinating. And in terms of leadership on a global stage, who's been leading the way, in your opinion, around the whole mobile learning space?
Well, I think in the 1980s, you had the personal digital assistant movement that was being used in the schools. By the early 1990s, I think a lot of this has been driven by Europeans, especially the British, in terms of using these devices in schools. And then Apple had a number of trials in the 1990s as well. And with the development of things like the Palm Pilot, they were also used in schools.
And in the higher ed space?
In the higher ed space, I would say I would look to someone like Professor Mike Sharples in England as one of the pioneers who started a project around 1998 using developing mobile devices in something called the Handler Project, where he used them with students, but that was really a graduate student project, and he was developing that within the university context.
Now, you do a fair bit of corporate learning consulting, and that area has really embraced mobile learning for a lot of obvious reasons.
Yes, and it's also where the budgets are. I think one of the reasons that mobiles, I think, moved ahead in corporate enterprise-level training is because people are not wedded to the lecture hall, they're not wedded to classroom kind of models. Although those models are there, they're very recent, and so they can break away, I think, and try other things. Plus, there's generally budgets for anything that's innovative that will make a difference to the bottom line.
Now, the good news is costs are coming down in terms of the education market and affordability and equity.
Yes, but also the other good news is that students bring their own mobile devices to class with them. And although there's a debate about that, many groups in both the education and corporate training are using what's called a BYOD, or bring your own device strategy.
Right, and think that will continue to gain traction?
Actually, I don't think you have much choice of it.
Right, very true.
Because now, I think students are going to use their devices no matter what. And employees are going to use their devices, maybe go outside for a Facebook break instead of a smoke break.
Yes, no kidding. And I know there are some professors that prefer students don't use their devices because they've been known to go shopping online and get a little distracted. But you know, it is about digital citizenship, isn't it? You know, and knowing and being taught, you know, how to use technology to work for you in a positive way.
I think it's more than that, actually. I think these devices have something new, which is that they create emotional connections. So my wife, who teaches at York University, you know, had a problem of getting students to turn their phones off. And when asked why they wouldn't turn them off, the students would say, well, if we turn them off, we won't feel we're connected to our friends and family. And so they put them on vibration, but they want to make sure that if something came in text, they could actually deal with the world. So, you know, that says something, that there's an emotional factor here. And you probably, Robert, know that if you can't find your phone, you can get upset. There's actually a condition called nomophobia, can't find my phone. And people do get upset when they are disconnected from these devices now.
Nomophobia?
Nomophobia, the British Post Office did a study of it.
Yeah, well, that's new. You've taught me something today. I'll have to keep that one in mind. Yeah, I do get a little stressed if my phone's not with me. But we do need time away from technology as well to kind of decompress it, because it can be a stressor in some respects too.
I think it also says something about our modern condition that we need to feel connected and perhaps don't, and that these devices make us or help us feel connected.
Well, humans by nature are social, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Now, we did a recent K-12 EdTech survey and found that only 65% of educators had access to Wi-Fi in the classroom. And do you see this as a barrier? And what do school districts need to do to address this conundrum?
Well, the conundrum is using mobile devices within the classroom. And people ask me, If we have students using mobile phones in the classroom, is that mobile learning? And what I say to them is that it's sort of like making a rule that you can only use your car radio when your car is parked in the garage. By that I mean, yeah, you can do it, but it misses the point. And the point of mobile learning is to be mobile. And if you're stuck in a classroom with a mobile device, really all you have is just another screen that's similar to, something at the back of the room on a desktop.
Excellent point. You know, investing in infrastructure is something that we're seeing more and more of happening. You know, case in point was Peel District invested $7 million in their infrastructure as they formulated their strategy around 21st century learning and one-to-one and BYOD. Are you seeing that trend gaining traction in other regions as well?
For sure. I was part of a study called the Taking Ontario Mobile, done by OCAD University.
Right.
We went and talked to a number of school boards where there's certainly progress in terms of use of mobile devices with students. The problem is it's sporadic and it's not necessarily supported at the top level. It can often be just a teacher's initiative.
It needs to be a strategy where the district has a plan that incorporates the infrastructure, hardware, and policies around that. And of course, professional development needs to be wrapped in too.
Yeah, because the other issue is that it changes how we teach. And, you know, we can do the old things that we did in classrooms on a mobile phone and giving a lecture, sending materials to the student to study and that kind of thing. But really, what these devices do is they allow students to find information when they need it. So it changes the nature of how we teach, and I think really lends itself to an inquiry-based or problem-based kind of teaching rather than a presenting of information kind of teaching.
Thank you for that. So what's next? Augmented reality?
Well, augmented reality is one of the possibilities, but in some ways it's just presenting more information as you go through an environment. I think what's really next is bigger than mobile learning. In other words, I think mobile learning is actually a transitional technology, and the change in learning and education is more than mobile. Mobile is a big, big factor, but it's also social, it's collaborative, it's participatory, it's networked, and it's also based on learners rather than teachers' agendas. In other words, people tend to look stuff up whenever they need something rather than being told to do it because of a curriculum demand.
So students are taking ownership, more ownership of their learning.
Well, yes and no. But it depends on what they are looking up, of course. And so then the issue becomes what is motivating them to learn anything. But the fact is they're doing that without us as teachers doing anything. They're looking up stuff. They're connecting with people. They're planning projects together for good or bad.
So this begs the question, what do faculties of education need to do in this transitional period?
Well, just like the time when personal computers came in and many of the students had personal computers well ahead of faculty members need to catch up and start seeing the possibilities of using these devices, and perhaps they should be used in programs for teacher education.
Absolutely. So you've written The Mobile Edge. Is there another book coming?
Actually, there is. We have a contract, myself and Chad Udell, who's the managing director of Float Mobile Learning in the U.S. We're working on a book for Wiley called Mastering Mobile Learning Tips and Techniques. And what we've done is collect about 4 years' worth of writing on a blog from Float Mobile Learning about the topic, and we put that together into a book. We're just in the middle of editing it right now.
Fantastic. Care to share any tips with our listeners on how they could most effectively integrate mobile learning in their teaching practice?
Well, the first thing is don't start with the devices. That's not the place to start. The place to start is with strategy. What are the objectives here? What are we trying to accomplish? And then move from there. So we're developing a roadmap. Right now we're developing one for corporate training, but it could be done for educational markets as well.
Right.
Because because it's more complex than it looks. It's not a matter of just using a phone or using a tablet. I think if you're going to do this in a systematic, system-wide kind of way, you need a plan and a roadmap, and that requires a certain amount of thinking about your choices. There's a lot of decisions to be made here. You know, what kind of content are you going to have? Is it going to be just converting the old stuff you've got, or is it going to be something that uses the affordances of the new technology in a new and exciting way?
Thank you for that. And so I always like to ask this question. What is your mobile device of choice?
That's a great question. And my mobile device of choice is those little Oxford University pocketbooks that you can stick in your inside pocket.
That is truly mobile. Any final thoughts to share, Dr. Whittle?
No, just that I think we need to look at the fact that this is going to have a big impact on what we do, and it's a bigger movement than mobile. It's what's called ubiquitous computing. It's social computing, and it's a real shift in terms of relationships and control. So one of the thoughts that I'm working on is who's going to control this technology in the future. Is it going to be individuals? Is it going to be school systems? Is it going to be corporations? Is it going to be communities? And I think they're all vying for control at this stage, and they're examples of all of these groups and how they can use mobile learning, but we're not sure how it's going to all end up.
Thank you very much for your time and insights this morning, Dr. Whittle.
My pleasure.
That was Dr. Gary Whittle, CEO and author of The Mobile Learning Edge. This is Robert Martellacci of the Mindshare Learning Report, and until next time, keep the learning curve steep.